If you don't know who I am, I've been talking for a while, I'm sorry. My name is Brandon. I am just part of the church family here. I've been privileged to be on staff for 15 years. And actually, I'm in a season, and we're in a season, my wife and I, our family, we are with Cornerstone's blessing, starting a new church this fall in Glen Allen, Virginia. Come on, put your hands together. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, we're 7 months out, and, you know, 7 months out is like, you know, that's what that's like. You know, it's that moment when you've had the baby, and you go to Babies R Us, and you see the bottles, and then you see the car seats, and then you see, oh, wait, they go to school, and then they turn 18, and we're having a baby, you know, like, we're having a human, you know, and that's kind of where we're at. We've moved into our area up in Atlee, and love it there, love the people there, and just love how God's working. It's just so good. I do want to share a quick story before we get to the message, because for me, this really is I just want to brag on God, y'all. If I could do anything, just to encourage you that God is in this, and God is for you, and he is for what he's put on your heart. This was, and again, if you know our story, we weren't looking for this. We weren't planning. This was part of no five-year plan, but the Lord just began speaking to us about a year and a half ago. And so anyways, fast forward to in November when we were doing some training, and we felt like the Lord spoke to us. We have a budget we're trying to raise to start this church, and we just want to start with excellence from the beginning. That's why we're doing it that way. And so we have this budget we're trying to raise, and in November, the Lord said, Brandon, I want you to believe me to raise 60% of your budget in 60 days. So just, again, it's not about numbers, but it is about the one who can do this. It was $225,000. That's 60%. And this was from December 1 to January 30th. And on December 1, we had $5,000. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Yeah. So anyways, we said, okay, Lord, okay. You want us to believe that you can do this. This isn't about how hard we can work and how much we can. This is the only blazer I own, y'all. This isn't, I mean, this is it. So I wear this 3 times a week, but it doesn't matter. So like, so anyways, we're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. On day 58, God came through and we got to 225,000. Come on, put your hands together for a faithful God. And again, it has nothing to do with the money. It just has to do with what he says he's going to do, what he says he's going to do. And we're just so grateful to be a part of that. Thank you for being a part of that Cornerstone family, that legacy offering you guys gave. It's incredible. Just we are blown away by the support here. And, you know, this is a bittersweet season for us. My wife and I grew up here since we were 7 years old. Our second grade Sunday school teachers hooked us up. Yep. So all of you with second graders are like, what are they doing in those classes? Anyways, no, but seriously, this is our home, and we've been traveling a little bit lately. It's so good to be home with you. It's so good to be with our family. It's bittersweet. This is a special moment to be able, and just a privilege to share the word with you today, because I know that the time is running short. And it's actually what God has put on my heart today for the word. I just want to share a thought with you. And man, I did it too. Oh, look at them. This team is amazing, y'all. They just know how to put stuff so you don't lose it. I just want to share this thought. See, for us, this is what's happening. And it can happen for all of us. Is when you have the end in mind, you tend to focus on what matters. You know, that's kind of where we're at. Just we're focusing on what matters. When you have the end in mind, there's just a level of intentionality that happens. There's a level of, you know, just focus. And for us, really, nothing epitomizes this better than our season of packing and moving. We moved from Chester up to Atlee, and so we were, that whole season for us was crazy. I mean, you guys know if you've moved. We had an amazing team help us move in that day. It's incredible. We have a ton of people help. It was awesome. We had a great plan, y'all. But it doesn't matter how good your plan is, how big the team is, it's still just crazy, right? But anyways, here's how good our plan was. We had color coordinate. We had bought 8 different colors of masking tape, and every box was labeled with that color, and every room coordinated with that color. So if the girls' room was mint, and then so when you walked into our new house, on one of the doors was a mint, like a sheet that said girls' room, and it had a mint block, and everybody walked in with their boxes, and hey, isn't that pretty cool? That didn't come from me. But anyways, so the whole room, every house was labeled like that. It was really cool. And here's the other thing, we had a good plan. We you know U-Haul boxes? they are adult size only. That means my three little kids wouldn't have helped at all if we didn't come up with a better plan. So I wasn't going to pay for boxes, number one. And number two, they had to be smaller. So my mom taught me this trick. It goes really well, that the best size boxes for moving are from ABC stores. And they're free. So the new pastor moved into the neighborhood, and in come all our boxes of vodka and bourbon and gin. All our neighbors are like, your church looks like a good time. They're in Hanover. It's what they talk like. But anyways, yeah, what time y'all starting? No, it's a mess, y'all. But hey, it's free. So that's what we did. And, you know, little Baldwin kids, you know, carrying in their Grey Goose. Let's just leave it alone. All right. I could keep going. What are they going to do to me? I'm leaving anyway. I can say whatever I want. He watched last service. It's fine. I'm just joking. I said this first service. I've been saving all these jokes for 15 years. You better believe I'm going to use them today. All right. Anyways, so we had a good plan. But here was the ultimate end to our move, okay? We had a moving truck, and the capacity of the back of that moving truck determined what went and what didn't make it. And I'll tell you what, the closer we got to the moving date, the less attachment we had to anything. We, you know, clothes, toys. I mean, there are so many stuffed animals at Goodwill and Chester right now. They'll be stocked for years, you know. I mean, we're just kids. We're like, we got three kids. Can't we just live with two? You know, we were trying to give away everything. All three made it, unfortunately. But no, it was, you know, you're like, hey, you can take everything. And so, you know, when you, with that limited amount of space and time, there was like, there's only so much we can do. And so the first thing we did, when we saw how big the truck we were going to get, the first thing we did is we determined what wasn't going on the truck. You know what I mean? Those things that, like, I don't care how much I love these people that are helping us move. They are not putting their hands on this, right? I mean, the heirloom crystal and silver that we got, the Hannah's China. On Black Friday, we went out and got a new TV to replace the one we bought when we first got married that was, you know, like this big. You know, now it's a microwave. I mean, I was like, all that went to the house before the truck. Everybody know what you're talking about? Yeah, you get in there. So there were some of those things. And then when it came to actually packing the truck, we had to make sure we put the big stuff in first, the mattresses, the dressers, all those kind of things. And then we just filled in all the rest of the space with the vodka. You know, that's just, I mean, the vodka boxes. And so that's just, I'm just joking, please. Okay. So anyways, that's how we did. We had to pack it in order or else it wasn't going to fit. But in the end, it didn't matter how well we did. There was just some things we had to say no to. And for sure, there were some things that we didn't care about. But, you know, all those things you live with right now, they are in your house right now. And if you move today, you'd be like, why do we own this? You know, like, I mean, anyways, for me, there was a lot of clothes that just did not make it from house one to house two. And Hannah was a part of packing that. And I had this favorite flannel that I had had since we got married, the first Christmas we got married. But y'all know the kind of shirt this is. You know, it had been washed enough. It was a little too short on the sides, you know, a little too tight. You know, the button on top had popped off. So little too revealing, if you know what I'm saying. I loved it. I thought she did too, but it went in a box, and I have not found that box in our new house, along with a lot of other clothes that I loved on Saturdays. Y'all, my Saturday clothes are gone anyways. But it's just what happens. When you have the end in mind, you focus on what matters. And so the question for us today is, what matters? What matters? I love it. I love the scriptures. I love the Bible. And you know, honestly, there is so much in the scripture that points to this. There is so much said in the scripture, so much from Jesus, so much from the New Testament, the Old, all of it that says, in light of the end, in light of this limited moment and the end that's coming, there's some things that matter. And there's one of Jesus' followers, Peter. He wrote a letter and he just talks about this, and I want to take you there, kind of set us up today. He says, the end of all things is near. And so he says, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. In other words, listen, kind of look right now, just do this right now. Just clear away your thoughts. just kind of focus, that's what that's saying, so that God can speak to you about what matters. Just, Hannah and I, we were praying for today on our drive into, and we just did this, and we just, you know, it was about slowing down our thoughts, our pace. It was about just kind of clearing it out, letting there just be one focus. Lord, what is it you want to say? He's saying, just be clear-minded and self-controlled. And then he says, above all. Now, just a good Bible reading tip. Anytime you see that, just pay attention. Underline it, highlight it, whatever you got to do. Tap it. But above all is really important. And I just want you to think about Peter. He's writing to a group of Christians. They didn't have the Bible yet. They didn't have the Gospels in their head. They wouldn't have had the Gospels. He's writing and he's going to tell them above all. In other words, this is what you got to hold on to in light of your life. What's the one thing Peter should say? What's above everything else, Peter? What is it you're going to say? And I just want you to see. He says, above all, love each other deeply, intently, purposely. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Here's what he's saying right here. Because love is a better foundation for our relationship than your humanity and your brokenness and my brokenness. But if you will allow love to be what the bridge that this relationship is built on, I'm telling you, it covers that so that you can find, and he's going to talk about more, but so that you can really experience the life God has for you. I could teach on that all week, but here we go. What he does, he sets this, and then here's what he says. He gives a couple of descriptions or examples of what this could look like, but then he sandwiches in between these examples a prescriptive principle. And in other words, this is what matters for everybody, but here's a few examples. So I'm going to show you that. Here's one of his examples. I want you to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So I'm coming over for dinner tonight, all right? Good with that? Offer hospitality, and then here's the principle. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So you and I are held accountable for the grace God's poured into our lives and to use it to serve one another, to allow love and an attitude of love to be what evades out of our service, an attitude with one another. Here's a few more examples. So if anyone speaks, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, you should do so with the strength that God provides. So that, above all, in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And we all say, amen. Above all, love one another deeply. I think that is such a powerful thing to declare, such a powerful thing for Peter to declare is this, that above all, it's relationships, your relationships that matter, our relationships. And my job today is simple. I just want to help us focus on what matters most and on the relationships that matter most. In fact, Jesus was the one who made some incredibly radical statements about our relationships and how he ties them to God himself. I'm going to look at some scriptures. I'm going to pull them up. And if you have the sermon notes today, they're there for you to read. But they're ones that many of us are so familiar with. But just, I don't know how to ask this. Just put on fresh eyes like it's the first time you're hearing it. It's the first time you're reading it. Look at what Jesus says. He makes this statement. He's being asked, what's the most important commandment? Another thing, what's above all? What's the thing that matters the most? He says, here's what's most important. You should love the Lord your God. That's relational language. That's not ritual. That has to do with my heart. I can do a lot of things with my hand. See, I can be nice to you, but that's different than being kind and truly honoring and loving you. He's talking about a relational level here. You have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, with all your mind. That he added, by the way. We'll talk about that another day. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. It's the word homeos. It means it's equal to or just as valuable or just as imperative that you should love your neighbor as yourself. He directly ties our relationship to God with our relationship with others. They're connected and you can't sever that. And then it gets worse. He tells us what it's supposed to look like. He says, this is what that command looks like, to love one another as I have loved you, with the same level of sacrifice and intentionality and purpose and grace, full of grace and full of truth. As I have loved you, you must love one another. And it's by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This verse, man, it messes me up. Because I'll tell you, for me, I don't know if I'm supposed to go here yet. It might be later. All I'm saying is this is the measurement right here of how we know. This is the measurement to know, am I really, really living in light of the end? Am I focusing on what matters most? And by this, so that they may know, they're not going to know by this, by a service size or a Sunday morning. They're going to know by our love. This is what matters. This is what's important. And, you know, for me, this is my issue. I used to want to divorce my relationship with the church from God. You know, God, I'm good with you, but I just don't want to deal with those people. Ever heard that? Ever said that? Y'all, I don't know how to say this. I'm not going to be on staff here much longer, so I guess here it goes. Seriously, that is one of the biggest lies in the church today. And we wonder why the world doesn't care. It's because we think we can divorce this and it doesn't matter. I don't like those people. But God's saying, no, you can't separate those two. I'll talk about it a little later, but this is so important. You can't separate it. We've been talking in this series about spiritual reality, a spiritual 2020, seeing things truly how they are. And so here, I want to give this to you. Jesus relates, this is spiritual reality. Jesus relates your spiritual development and growth, or your discipleship, to your relationships. He relates your growth and your spiritual growth and your spiritual purpose to your relationships with others. And you can't separate the two. And that's a problem, y'all, because we've all had bad relationships. I mean, shoot, Hannah and I, our marriage, we have two relationships ourselves. The first one was pretty bad, and we broke up. The second one went better. We got married. You know, we've all had bad relationships. It really is. That was supposed to be funnier, but that's all right. I'll tell the story later. Think about it, though. We've all had them, and I don't have to explain to anybody in here what it feels like to be lied to, what it feels like to be betrayed. I don't have to explain to anybody what it feels like when you're insecure in the things you said that you can't take back. And you know, too often, bad relationships don't just leave our heart scarred, they leave our heart walled off. We don't just put a scar, we build a wall. And we just get in this place, well maybe, you know, I let someone in, I'm not going to let them in again. I've done that before, and I got to protect. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's too often in the church that we haven't said anything about, no, that's not okay. That's not at all what God intended. In fact, that's what the enemy intended, that you would be isolated and alone and sectioned off from everyone else, and you would be like that. No, God wanted good fruit to come from relationships. God wanted your relationships to be a place where you come to know him in a greater way than you ever could on your own. God saw so much value in your relationships. He never wanted that wall there. That's what he wanted. Because you were designed, spiritually designed, for relationships. And so, again, I just want to bring this up. This was my issue, and this is one of the verses that really challenged me in 1 John. It says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, maybe you're like me, and you wrestle, like, well, I don't really hate them. You know, hate them. I, like, hate-ish them. I don't like them. You know, my mom says I can't say hate, so I just don't like you. But let's just be honest with what's going on. We cannot divorce our relationship with God's people and think that somehow we're spiritually okay. And so we have to do something about that. We have to focus on what matters. And so I want to give you a thought. And this is kind of, if you've got the blanks out, here's the thought for the day. And it's really, if you don't hear me for anything else, that's fine. Just, I want you to make sure you know this, though. Relationship decisions are the most important decisions you will ever make in your life. Now, I try to be very careful about making sweeping, overarching, like, promises like that. I think that's pretty, I better be able to back it up. Luckily, Jesus is on my side. But I want you to take that to heart. For you, your relationship decisions are the most important decisions you will ever make in your life. And so, sure, you've had bad relationships. I've had bad relationships. The question is, are we doing what we need to do to make sure we have the right ones? Are we making the right relationship decisions? And so today, I want us to look at four relationship decisions I think all of us need to make. And I would say, and I'm confident, everyone in this room has at least one of those decisions you need to make today. It needs to happen right now in light of the end, in light of what God, who God sees you to be and who he's redeemed you to be. This is important. So I want us to lean in here to these decisions. And then I just want to remind us, the reason that this is so big is because you matter, but it's also because we matter, and it's because they matter, it's because he matters. All right, so let's look at these four relationship decisions. The number one, the first one is, we've got to nurture our important relationships. We must nurture our important relationships. In other words, there's some relationships I'm responsible for, and no one else. I mean, I'm a dad to three kids. I'm a husband. I can't just leave those relationships. I'm a pastor. I'm responsible. I have some responsibilities in those relationships. I can't just leave them. And listen to this. I can't leave them where they are and think that they're just going to stay there until I come back. Because relationships don't stay where they are. Have you ever come back 6 months later, or 3 weeks later, or 3 hours later? It's like, whoa, I thought we were here, and now we're, right? You tracking with me? Relationships are living things. They take nurturing and care, and you've got to put attention to them. They don't stay. I mean, that's the thing about relationships, and we have to recognize every great relationship happens on purpose and not by accident. And that's why when talking about relationships in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he constantly talks. I mean, almost all his letters, you find this language. I want you to choose to build one another up. I want you to find ways to build one another up. You've got to make decisions about how to do that in your home, in your family, in your church, with your kids. Build up, nurture these relationships. Take care of those that are important. Paul also, he would use this imagery of the human body and saying that we're all a part of the whole. But so often, if you'll go read those passages, he focuses on the connections between the parts and how those connections influence the whole. Let me take you to this one in Colossians. He says, the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, so in other words, those connection points, grows with a growth that is from God. So in other words, the connection points and their health determine the growth of the whole body. You tracking with me? And we have to focus on those connection points, those relationships within the individual parts. Now, for your physical body, you do that, hopefully, or possibly, like me. You exercise. I faithfully exercise once a week. I know. That's what I say, too. No, but we exercise. And then the other thing is nutrition, right? You focus on things to really what you're focusing on is those connection points. Make sure your body stays healthy. And what happens if you don't do those things? You die, right? I mean, you die. And guess what? When you die, you can't work out anymore. I know. Isn't that great news? Woo! Come on. No, anyways. We're saved. It's fine. No, what? 15 years, been saving them. All right. Well, you die. Just think about that for a minute, though. Think about your marriage. If you wait till your marriage is dead, it's a bad time to start working on it. You don't work on it when it's broken. You work on it before it breaks. You don't put a log on the fire when the fire's gone out. You better put one on there when there's still a little ember going on. Right? You've got to nurture this thing. I mean, guys, think about, just come with me, okay? We used to pick out, we used to know the restaurant we were going to take her to before we went on the date. Do you remember that? I don't. That was crazy. How did I do that? I mean, we had some intentionality. We paid attention, maybe. You know, I mean, and if we didn't, she fixed that. You know, but there's just so much, there's attention that it takes. And if we're going to get a relation to a point of marriage, we can't think that it's not going to take just as much work, even more, to keep it healthy. That's why we at Cornerstone, we have a marriage conference. It's not for you. I mean, it is for you if your marriage is broke, but that's not who should go. Everybody should go. You should go before it's broken. You should go so it doesn't get broken. I'm not married. It doesn't matter. You should go, right? It still all applies, I promise you. This is why it's so important that we do this, that you invest in your important relationships. Moms and dads, can I just have a quick parent moment? Do you remember how much work it took when they were little and they couldn't eat by themselves and they couldn't do a lot of things by themselves? How much work it took just to get them to live, to do the next thing the next day? You know, like, geez, progress. I shouldn't say it. I am still going to be around, so I can't say everything I want. All right, anyways, do you remember that, though? I mean, hey, all the parents of twins in the room, we don't know how y'all do it, okay? Matt and Emily, Elizabeth, we have no idea how y'all do this. This is amazing. How do you do it, too? Just, I was thinking about that, and surely the Lord just real quick asked me, he said, Brandon, how are you putting that much attention into their spiritual relationship, their spiritual life? That was a lot of work just to get them to live to the next day. Am I doing that spiritually? Or am I going to wake up in 15 years and wonder what happened? And the honest thing is, I don't need to wonder. Because if I didn't nurture that, what am I thinking I'm going to get? Relationships don't stay. If I'm feeding my children once a week spiritually, and I get it, I'm a pastor, they like live at church, but that's not the same thing. You know it, I know it. And I'm responsible for that. I could live here all day. Okay, we've just got to focus and nurture what's important. You good with that? Let's go. Number two, we've got to sever our harmful relationships. We've got to sever our harmful relationships. You know, some of y'all just need to get rid of that flannel shirt. Just turn to the person next to you. You just need to get rid of it. Just look at him right now. Come on. And you know the thing about shirts like that is everybody else knows it when you put it on. What is he doing? Camo shorts where the pockets are 4 inches below the pants, you know? What is he doing? I mean, just, I'm not going to Target with you. I mean, some of you have got some things, some people, some relationships you're holding on to, and every time you go hang out with everybody else knows, like, what are you doing? What is going on? I mean, for some of you, it's very serious. I mean, it's that flirtatious relationship at work. And you know, and okay, maybe you haven't crossed these boundaries that you think are the boundaries that you shouldn't cross, but let's be honest. You shouldn't be doing that. Maybe you're living with somebody and you're not married and you guys haven't made that commitment and you think, well, it's just what we do today. No. You need to know it's actually spiritually harmful. And if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but I care about who you are and that you can't do that. You can't think that doesn't have a consequence. You can't think that there's not we just need to be a little honest about this. Well, that's hard. Brandon, that's a hard. Yeah, it is. It's really hard to keep a baby alive, too. Should I not say that? One more time. Yeah, it's hard, but it matters a lot. And in light of the end, it matters the most. And we should never trade what God values as eternal as what's temporal and comfortable right now. There's some relationships, guys. There's some guys you hang out with, and they can pull you. Here's the thing. It's not do we hang out with those who don't believe like us or disconnected? No. That's not it. We need to be in those places, but But if we are in a relationship where when that conversation goes there, that's where I go. When my thoughts go there, my words go there. Girls, come on, it's not just guys. Girls, I'm hanging out with them, and no matter what, it always goes here. I just know. I just need to sever that. And here's the thing, relationships don't stay. And sometimes when we're growing with God, we have these people we've walked with, but then we start growing, and all of a sudden we just need a little reality check, like we're not there. You know, there's this scripture, and Paul writes, he says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, which I think sometimes gets a little, it's hard to receive that. Sometimes like, okay, don't get married to him, or don't, you know. But here's reality, what that means. My parents are farmers, and one of the things I grew up knowing is when you put two animals in a yoke together, if one goes off the path, it can't do anything but help, but the other one's going to get pulled off the path with it. They're that closely tied together that if one goes, the other goes. And you can almost not do anything about it because this one's taking the initiative. There it goes, okay? Reality is this is about how tightly knit you are to in your relationships. And if you're so tightly knit with someone who isn't walking in the direction you're walking, isn't pursuing Jesus, they can go off the path. And if you're in that, if you're that tightly knit, you're going with them. Proverbs says it this way. Listen, if you want to become wise, walk with the wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. I've taught this before. You don't have to be the fool to suffer harm. You just have to be close enough to the shrapnel when their life explodes. There's some relationships we just got to sever. For some of you, the most important relationship decision you could make today is not who you're saying yes to, but who you're saying no to. And again, I know that's hard. I know that's scary. But it's what matters most. And God's a good God. And he wouldn't ask you to do it if he didn't have a plan in place for what was next. So just trust him there. Good, let's look at number three. We're going to skip that. It's a good verse, though. You should read it. We're going to initiate, number three, we're going to initiate some meaningful relationships. So there's some things we need to let go of, and then there's some things we need to start. And I love what you see. There's this pattern in the New Testament. Many of us who grew up in church, we're very familiar with the storyline. We understand, okay, Jesus ascended into heaven. All the disciples, the Spirit fell on them. There's this incredible miracle. The church grows by thousands. But do you realize none of them knew each other? They weren't friends. They had to be intentional about pressing into relationship with each other. They were coming from different cultures. I mean, that's what half of the New Testament's about. How do we do this when you grew up like this and I grew up like that? How do we stay connected and focus on what matters most? They figured it out, by the way. But anyways, so there's some intentional. I want you to look at what happens here in Acts 2. They made a decision. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to life together, to doing life together. The word is a little challenging for us to translate, but basically it's this idea of like, they were in. They were all in. I'm all in with you. I'm just in. So much to say there. Look, too, at another one in Hebrews. It says, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing, but instead let us encourage. These are all choices we have to make. Let us encourage one another all the more, since you see, and here it is again, the end. The end's in mind. Since you see that the day of the Lord is coming. I just feel like we're right back to what Jesus taught. With his commandments, what Jesus taught in the Gospels is that our spiritual development, it requires an intentionality to build these meaningful relationships with one another, because God does his best work in those relationships. Because growth and discipleship is not about informational accessibility, in other words, being so close to it, but it's really about relational proximity. It's about those relationships in your life. That maybe the most important discipling thing you could ever do is not a class or a curriculum, but it's loving someone else like Jesus has loved you and allowing someone else to model that same love back to you. And this is true for your kids and your spouse. And this is true for your boss. Your relationship with God is directly tied and related to your relationships with people, and specifically, his people, so much of the love one another's. There's 47 love one another's in the New Testament. It's about the body first. It's about being able to do it first, because it's only by that that the world sees and wonders. Your relationship with God is directly tied to your relationships with his people. So in other words, your ability to know God and to know who he is, your ability to experience the freedom that he's already purchased for you, your ability to discern and discover your divine purpose and who he made you to be and how he made you to be, your ability to truly leave a legacy in this world, to make a difference with his body, with his people, it's all tied to relationships. All of it. You can't skip it. It's what matters most. And so you and I, we need to initiate significant relationships and meaningful relationships with God's people. Not just go to church, not just have a relationship with a church, but really with his people. And I just want to take a quick minute, and it's why I'm so passionate about small groups. In fact, I'm going to strike that. I really don't care about small groups. I care about you. And I'll even go a little bit farther. I do care about you, but as a pastor, I feel like I'm responsible and accountable to God for how you're being discipled and cared for. So I love you, but I answer to him. And so when I talk about small groups, when I talk about creating a space for you to be with three or four other Christians who are walking in the same direction you're walking, and who can walk with you and help you take your next steps of faith, that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I believe it's so needed. Because discipleship is relational. It isn't informational. It really is. And a few weeks ago, I did a teaching with our staff team. As my wife and I are preparing the transition from Cornerstone, we're helping kind of disseminate some culture and understanding. And I actually did a teaching on why small groups, why we think it's a good idea. And when I did it, Sean, our lead pastor, came and said, "Brandon, I really want you to share that on Sunday." And for me, it's not a good sermon, the whole thing, so I won't give you the whole thing. But I do want to share a little bit. Is that okay? And just talk about it from just my seat. And so I want to give you a few numbers. This is how I'm going to give it first. And I just want to address the need that I see. And I want to give you a few numbers. 207, 283. Any guesses on those blanks? Crowd of 300 people, I guess not. Yeah, I figured not. Okay. Here's what they are. I'll just let you give them to you. This is the number. 207 men are men who have committed to Cornerstone through membership. So they've gone through Keep Growing. They've signed the paper. We have a lot of men who come, a lot of people who come on Sundays. This is part of their church home and their faith experience. They haven't just made that step, but we just know these numbers. 207 men, 283 women, 187 marriages, it's 374 individuals. And the most important number is their friends, because in the end, we're not responsible just for this. We're responsible for this right here, right? And I've said it many, many times, within 5 miles of where you're sitting, there's 38,000 people disconnected from God and his church. So we're nowhere close to a big church. You kidding me? We have a big job. And here's the thing. I'm accountable and responsible for how these men and women and marriages are discipled and cared for and nurtured. And so if this is the need, we've got to have a solution that meets the need. And I'm just going to tell you, there's 5 pastors on staff here. You throw 3 crises at us in 1 week, we're done. We're done. And God forbid if something happens to you on Thursday. I know that sounds really bad, but I'm just trying to be honest. There's a capacity issue with that many pastors, that if we think care and discipleship happens from this little bitty top down, that just doesn't work. And it produces is really shallow church. It really is what it does. Maybe good teaching, hopefully. Maybe funny stories, a few vodka boxes here and there. But it doesn't really produce what matters most. And so the solution has to hit that. Number one, it's got to be scalable. This is what I teach our team. It's got to be scalable. So we have 207 men. How many leaders of men do you think we should have at Cornerstone? Any guesses? 207, that'd be awesome. But how about 20? I think 20 is a good number. 1 to 10 ratio. Kind of close to what Jesus did. we might, you know, he did 12. He was spectacular. But hey, why not just shoot for 20? And 287 women, 83 women, okay, 28 women in leadership. And how about for marriages, how about we had 18 couples investing in 187 couples? That, I mean, think about that. Like that, how, what kind of system would you build so that could work? How could you empower that? But think about 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says that we are all responsible to use the expression of grace that God has given us to serve the body. So how do we do it in such a way that you are empowered in the gifting God's given you? I'm not telling you what you should do, but I'm saying, hey, what's God put in you? How can you use that to serve the body and build it up and choose to be committed to this thing? How could you do that? And so that's why we talk about small groups, because it's scalable, because we can empower leaders in multiple venues and we can reach multiple kinds of men. So I love the idea of having a men's breakfast. I love it. But how many of you men are getting up on Saturday at 7 a.m.? Okay, how about this? I'm not giving up getting up on Saturday at 7 a.m., okay? Some men will, and we need a men's breakfast, but that's not going to reach 207 men. We've got to have more than that. When I sat down with our marriage team, we have an amazing marriage team. Cornerstone is so blessed, y'all. You have no idea. We have marriage mentors who are trained to work with leaders, marriage small group leaders. We have a team and a board that oversees all that. But one of the things I did is I walked in there with those 374 names of people who are married in our church, and I said, this is how we're going to make decisions. This is what matters. And so we can have a Wednesday night class on strengthening and enriching your marriage, and it can reach 10 couples. It can reach 15 couples. That's great, but we got 187 couples. So one class on a Wednesday night just isn't going to cut it. We've got to do something greater. We have Sunday morning life groups. Everybody loves Sunday morning. I love Sunday. I have three kids. It is insanely convenient to do that. But our capacity for Sunday morning life groups is 180 seats. It's just not going to work. And if anything, it's just going to produce shallow church. So we've got to have something that's better. Are y'all tracking with me? Y'all feeling it? If you're good, say bueno. I like it. That's what we say. Okay, So I think that's where we're at, and that's why we think it's got to be scalable. Here's the other thing. It's got to be relational. When I talk to our small group leaders, and last year we had over 104 people say yes to leading small groups, right? This year so far we've had 97 other people commit to leading. It's great. Just love that. It's got to be relational. What I talk to them about is connection over content, connection over content, connection over content. Because reality is you and I are over-sermonized beyond our level of obedience. In other words, we've heard plenty of sermons, we're just not all quite living it out, right? So what I don't need is another teaching. What I need is to be able to take my mask off and be honest with you. And I need you to have a place where you can be honest and you can share. Man, you know, this move is tough. And last week, I took it out on my kids, and I just need you to pray with me about that. Because James 5:16 says, if I will confess my sins one to another, then you will be healed. See, it's another place where God connects our relationships to our healing, to our relationships, to our discipleship, our spiritual growth. You can't separate it. Solution's got to be relational. And second, finally, it's got to be accountable. Because if you know spiritual growth and our spiritual journey, it's lifelong. It's not a one-time decision. It's a one-step-at-a-time lifestyle following Jesus day and day, right? So we've got to have this place where there's a small group of people who are meeting together. They've already got a connection made because they're already using their gifts. It's relational. And then they're walking with each other saying, hey, what's a next step you can take in your relationship with Jesus? And we do that in all our small groups. At the end of every 12 weeks, that question comes up. We actually send out a little survey online so you can help kind of process through it. And it's not for you to take once and be done. It's something that hopefully every semester you're seeing yourself, man, I'm growing. Man, I am taking next steps. Man, God really is. It helps me. It helps your leader know. It helps you know. It helps us see, okay, God's really moving me forward. This is why we do small groups the way we do it. And we want to empower leaders, and we want them to really help their people experience true community, experience true relationship. We want them to help take next steps. And sometimes that looks like it's a deep dive Bible study, and it goes deep into the Word. But sometimes it's rallied around a gift or an interest with just a bit of intentionality. And I think sometimes we get pushback on that. Like, how does that really change anybody? And I love to tell this story, and you might have heard it before, but I think it's so perfect. We have a guy that leads a running group, and here's the thing. He's got grouping happening naturally in your life. You do. You have places where people just naturally gather. For him, it was running. And he had some guys that he would run with on the weekends, some guys from work, some guys from church. And what he decided is like, hey, I'm just going to pull it together, make it a little intentional. And so every Saturday, they would go for a run together. And before that, while they kind of gathered up and met up and talked about the route, he would just share one verse of truth, not deep, not long, but just, hey, this is what God's been speaking. This is what I've been reading this week. And then he would ask for prayer requests and say, I'm praying for you every week. Every day I'm going to pray for you this fall. And so just ask for prayer requests. And so the first week he asked them, hey, is there anything you guys I can pray for? And guess what 7 men at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning said when they were asked for prayer requests? Yeah, they did not go deep. They didn't say anything. First week, nobody said a thing, okay? But he didn't care. He just was going to keep asking. Week 3, he kept asking. Not much was said. You know, just shallow stuff, just here and that. Usually like, this IT band, that kind of thing. So there's so much that he was going through. He was talking, he was asking, but he just created a space where they began to get closer. They began to connect. They got a little more comfortable talking with each other, running with each other, sharing life together. And by about week 8, he asked that question, and after he asked it, he prayed for the group, and then they all kind of stretched and did a little warming up, and one of the guys from work called him over and said, hey, can I talk to you real quick? And so they walked over, and the guy from work, the leader, and he said, hey, man, I know I don't talk much, and I know, you know, I've just been listening to what you've been saying, the verses you've been sharing, and I think I just need to forgive my dad. And how many of you know that was 100% a step towards Jesus that man needed to take? And maybe he's never stepped foot on a Sunday morning service, but right there in that place, he met with God. We cannot underestimate and undervalue the space God wants to use to reach the kids that he loves and to connect those who are disconnected. And that's why we believe in small groups. That's why we believe in that. You guys good with that? Is that okay? Thank you. So here's the thing. Cornerstone, my final challenge to you is we must become a church of small groups, not a church with small groups. For to be a part of this body means you've got a group. You've committed, not just to the teaching. You got to be committed to the teaching of the apostles. But you've committed to doing life with everybody here. Not everybody, with a group. To walk with one another. To take your mask down. To take next steps. You good with that? So we've got to nurture our relationships. We've got to sever some ones that are harmful. We've got to start some new ones that God wants to use to do some incredible things in your life. And then finally, we've got to engage a relationship with God. And that doesn't matter if it's your first time, if it's your first time in a long time, or if you've been doing this for years and years. Every day the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. And anybody who will open his heart, I will come in and I will be with you. And that's the invitation God has for you. So would you, as you fill in those blanks, that last blank, put your pen down. Would you stand with me? We're just going to move into a moment of prayer. And here's what I'd ask. As we do this, will you just clear your mind and have some self-control to focus in and allow God to speak to you in this moment? We're going to finish up. Say thank you to the kids workers for letting me go a little long. But let's just pray. Just close your eyes. Just kind of press into the Lord. I just want you to invite him. Ask him these questions. God, what are the relationship decisions I need to make today? What do I need to nurture? Who do I need to nurture? Lord, where do I need to sever some relationships that you have been speaking to me about for some time? None of this is a surprise. Come on, none of this is new. Lord's already speaking to you. Father, I pray that you would give people the courage today in this place to make those decisions. Lord, to focus on what matters. And as life gets busy, as things get crazy, Lord, when it seems like there's so much distraction, would you just, Lord, intervene and allow moments of clarity and focus that they could see what matters most. Lord, for some of them, it's restoring a broken relationship. That is meaningful, that is important, that has been broken. and you're calling them to go back and serve and love and forgive and repent. And for some of you, you've never engaged a relationship with God. You've maybe heard about it, but you've never really engaged. You didn't realize this was based on relationship. It wasn't about rules and laws and do's and don'ts. This is about who. And I don't want to pass today without giving you the moment to open your heart and engage that relationship with God today. He told us in his word, it's very simple to do that. The first step is very simple. It's just opening your heart and inviting him in, saying, Jesus, would you come in my heart? Would you come and be with me? And here's the cool thing. It's his promise. He will come now. So if you've never made that decision today, you've never made the decision to engage your relationship with Jesus, but you know today that's your step, I want to ask you in a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And it's not, no one's going to be looking. I want a moment for you. This is really for you to say yes, to make that decision and make it clearly. So if that's you today, would you just raise your hand right now that I could pray with you? Amen. I see you. It's a whole family. Amen. I see you guys. Beautiful. So even if you raise your hand, I see you, girl. If you raise your hand, if you didn't, all of us, let's just pray, because we all need to engage with the Lord today. And just say, Lord Jesus, I invite you in. Lord Jesus, you take the lead. I surrender my own way to follow yours. Amen. And Lord, right now, I just pray for those who said it, some for the first time, some for the first time in a long time. I pray that your holy presence, your Holy Spirit would come and fill them with your power. Let them know, Lord, you are the God who is with them right here in this moment. You are the one who led them to this. Lord, and would they know and know, would their hearts be marked, sealed forever, that you are their God and they are yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now, Cornerstone, I just want to pray this blessing over you, because the end of all things is near. And so I pray that you would have a clear mind and be self-controlled, so that you may pray and discern from the Lord what is important. That above all, Cornerstone, you would love each other deeply, and that this church would be marked by relationships of love, selfless love, sacrificial love, generous love, that it would define the relationships here and it would cause a wonder in the world. Lord, I pray you would make this church a place where hospitality is so rich, first to one another and second to another, that there would always be an open seat in our church. There would always be an open seat in our small groups and in our homes. We would not say we're too big, we're fine, we're good as we are, but we would know your heart always longs for those who are still disconnected. Lord, that we would have that heart. Lord, and I pray that from our words to our hands, we would steward the gifts that you have given us. We have received from you to serve one another, to serve it and to administer your grace to one another in its varied colors and forms and all those ways, so that in all things, God, you may be praised through Jesus Christ. For it's for your glory and it's for your honor and for your power and to you and for you and through you all things. We say forever and ever, amen and amen. Come on, can you thank the Lord for his word today? Put your hands together for the faithful one. Amen. Thanks for letting me go a little long. But hey, I love you. God bless you and have a great week in the Lord. We'll see you next Sunday for our final week in this series.